Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
So it's not so much a matter of time, it's a matter of performance or light performance. And we have a very simple technique we use to work that out, and that's to compare the number of sales to the number of properties listed for sale.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors, find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategy. I'm Tyrone Shum, and continuing with us in this episode is the psychic of property investment, John Lindemann, who will delve deeper into his strategy. He will also reveal his property market predictions and how you can make your debt earn you money. Also, before we delve into this episode, go over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property investor case studies, where you'll learn how to generate passive income from your properties. Go there now to sign up for free. When diving into property investing, there can be many uncertainties. These doubts and fears can have a major impact on the success and longevity of a person's property journey, as Lindemann explains.
I think the greatest obstacle that first-time investors have is that they're sort of going into this world of uncertainty, and property is really the biggest investment they'll ever make in their lives. And so they think, wow, this is a lot of money I'm putting on the line here, and if I get it wrong, it could affect, you know, my future for a long, long time. And there's lots of stories out there about people who have lost a lot of money, and it's, you know, almost ruined their lives because they made bad decisions. So I think that the obstacles that people have to face is this, you know, coming to grips with the uncertainty and the fact that it can hold you back. So I always say to people who are in that position, I said, you know, as long as you invest in good areas with growth potential, you've got nothing to worry about, because the property market has always improved over time. It's always gone up, and it always will, because there's more people who want to buy than what there are properties available. So, you know, that's just the way it is. Don't worry. Just be careful about where you invest and the type of property you buy.
With his specialty in research, Lindemann understands every aspect of his supply and demand research, as well as the people that first developed it.
One thing I did when I was researching the market, I looked at a number of studies that had been done over the way the market performs, and there was one really interesting study which was conducted. This a Dutch professor, he researched the performance of houses in one street. It was along a canal in Amsterdam called the Herengracht Canal, and those houses hadn't changed in 400 years. They were the same houses. So he analysed the changes in price that had occurred over 400 years. And that was where he came up with the idea that it's all about supply and demand. As long as the demand for these houses was higher than the number there were, prices went up, and if the demand fell away, they went down. And there's been a number of other experts that have done similar long-term studies on the performance of the housing market. And they all say it performs in accordance with the laws of supply and demand. And so I think, you know, rather than any particular mentor, it was more using the resources of, you know, people that had written PhDs and so on this subject to use their research in this way, and then to say, well, now how can I convert this information into a form that investors can make use of? And that was the idea of looking at the ratio of supply to demand, in a very simple way that gave you the power of all that research that had been conducted over hundreds of years of property market performance, and put that into a form that you could use yourself.
Lindemann always recommends doing thorough research on potential mentors to find the absolute best option for you.
Well, I say if you rely on genuine experts in the market, you know, that have done all the work for you, that's the best thing you can do. And the problem here is, of course, that it's an unregulated market. And there's a lot of sharks, you know, wolves in sheep's clothing out there who pretend to be on your side. And what I always say is, well, have a look at their actual track performance. So these days, it's very hard for people to hide. You can Google anyone, and I welcome you to Google my name, John Lindemann, and see what comes up, you know, what I predicted and what actually happened. Because some of these people, you'll find they've been investigated by ASIC and trade practices and so on, and yet they're claiming to be on your side. And there's other people who will also claim to be on your side, and they're really, you know, seller's agents masquerading as buyer's agents. So they've got their own hidden agendas. So I'd say do your research on the actual person giving the information and their track record and their bona fides, because that's going to stand you in good stead.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you definitely walk your talk, and you know, you've got plenty of credentials to back you up. So I totally agree. Use the internet to advantage, and research the people wisely as well.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that everyone's always going to be 100% correct, you know, but it's the logic behind it. You know, why are they saying this? And if it's not, hopefully not to feather their own nest, but because they've, you know, genuinely believe these areas have got potential and the reasons why are explained, then I think, you know, that's the sort of advice you need to take heed of.
Once again, the genius of Robert Kiyosaki has proven powerful in providing advice for all property investors.
Well, I think the idea that there's good debt and bad debt, which comes from Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the book, because that, for the first time, I realised that there was debt was different depending on what you did with the money, you know. So if you get a credit card and max it out and you're paying off the monthly repayments, that's bad debt. You know, it's costing you money all the time. And what you bought with that probably doesn't generate any income. But if you borrow money to buy property, and assuming that property goes up in price or returns more in rent than what you pay for the interest, then that's good debt. And I think that was really the best advice I ever received, that there is a distinction, and sooner investors realise that there is good debt and they need to be able to use it properly, that's the first step to, you know, success in property investment.
Coming up after the break, we'll get into the nuts and bolts of Lindemann's prediction-based strategy.
We have a very simple technique we use to work that out, and that's to compare the number of sales to the number of properties listed for sale.
How to have a balanced portfolio?
The idea of minimising your risk is to buy in different types of markets.
And how you can learn from his work?
My first book was published by Wiley's in 2011. It was called Mastering the Australian Housing Market.
Hey, podcast listeners, are you enjoying listening to these stories and want more? Then head over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property case studies that I only send exclusively via email. Just one of the many benefits of being part of this community. These real case studies are from experienced property investors where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, their strategies, and much more. Simply visit propertyinvestory.com to get your free case studies. Now back to the show. What are the steps in moving into high-growth property investing? Next, we'll hear Lindemann's step-by-step guide to starting as an investor.
Well, I think that initially anyway, let's say you're starting off as an investor first time, you might have $30,000 or something, you know, as a deposit. So you're going to have to borrow, say, $120,000 to buy a house for $150,000. So the first thing you need to do is to say, well, I want to buy that $150,000 house in an area where it's going to go up as much as possible over the next few years, maximise that growth. Because let's say, like the Hawthorne house, the first one I bought, doubled in price in 3 years. If that happens, then your property is now worth $300,000. So you pay back the bank $120,000 and you've lost your 10% for costs of buy, hold and sell costs, but you end up with about $130,000 instead of your initial $30,000. So you've suddenly made $100,000. And then you do that again. And so I think they're the steps, is to keep focused on that goal of I'm going for growth and I'm going to find areas with high growth potential.
Mm.
That's what I did. And I discovered ways of finding those sorts of areas. There are no secrets either. If you'd like to know what those secrets are to finding those steps, well, of course, you can read my books or past articles in various magazines,
yes.
You know, because I make it quite available to everybody how you can do this. But it's consistency is the main aim in all of this, to be consistent and not to lose track of what you want to achieve.
So what's the best plan of attack for Lindemann Strategy? If you have a range of high growth properties but need to move into high cash flow as you approach retirement, should you draw out equity or simply sell the properties to purchase high cash flow properties instead?
That depends entirely, Tyrone, on what the prediction is for that area. So it's not so much a matter of time, it's a matter of performance or likely performance. And we have a very simple technique we use to work that out, and that's to compare the number of sales to the number of properties listed for sale. And this information, again, it's very easy to obtain. The number of properties listed for sale, you go to realestate.com or domain and look it up for any suburb, and it gives you a number. So it says there are 30 or 40, you know, houses for sale. Then you look up in, say, your investment property magazine in the back, that same suburb, and see how many were sold over the last year. And the amazing thing is, and it took me 2 years to work this out, that if the number sold in the last year is about the same as the number that, you know, people are trying to sell right now, then that's what we call a neutral market, and that means prices aren't moving.
Mm.
But as soon as that ratio changes, so if you've got more people wanting to buy, in other words, the sales is higher than the number of properties listed for sale, then prices tend to go up. And if you've got more properties listed for sale than were sold over the last year, prices tend to go down. And it's a very, so that, you know, the greater the difference, the greater prices are likely to be going up or down. And you can track that over time yourself. So you do it every once a month, and that tells you when the tipping point is reached where prices are not likely to be going up anymore. So that's what I do. And we look at the suburbs where we have properties, or this is what we're doing when we're looking for growth. And when we realised that there was no more growth likely, we would then sell that property, you know, before the growth actually stopped.
Oh.
And then find other areas where there was growth potential and buy in those areas. Now, you've got to be, when you do this, of course, you've got to be careful, because the cost of selling a property is about 3 to 4% the value of that property. So, you know, you've got to pay agents, you've got to have the house staged, there's legal fees and so on. When you buy a property, it's about 4% of the price of the purchase price, because you've got to pay stamp duty and you've got to pay some more contract fees, you've got to get an inspection done and so on. So you're losing about 8% every time you buy and sell. So unless you get 8% or more growth, you're going backwards. And the interesting thing about the property market is that the long-term average growth rate in the market is about 8%. So you've got to find areas that are going to do better than the average performance rate.
So what about the buy and hold method, favoured by many of the guests featured here at Property Investory? Is there a buy and hold option in Lindemann's predictions?
Now, running at 8%, so it means that unless you can find areas, and you're sure of finding areas where there's higher growth than that, and, you know, we're looking, say, 20, 30%, growth over the short term, then you are better off just buying and holding, because that 8% growth will mean that the property will double in value over about 11 years. So, you know, it can double every 11 years, which is great. So that's a good thing. But that's all you can expect to achieve in those sorts of, you know, most of the markets in Australia.
With the temperamental nature of the Australian housing market, What does Linneman recommend to keep your portfolio safe?
Well, I definitely think you should spread your risk, but I've had people come up to me and say, I've got a balanced portfolio. And I say, what do you mean by that? And they say, well, one third in commodities, one third in shares, and one third in housing. And I say, well, that's not balanced at all, because it should all be in housing, because housing will give you the best, you know, returns as long as you buy in the right areas. So then other people say, oh, well, I've got a balanced housing portfolio. I've got two properties in Queensland, two in WA and two in South Australia. They say, but that's not balanced either, because all you're doing is, you know, they could be the same types of markets in each state. So the idea of minimising your risk is to buy in different types of markets, not different states or whatever. So at the moment, you might say the best growth potential areas in Australia, Hobart, Tasmania, the coastal areas where retirees are moving, that's got a lot of growth potential. But then there's a lot of Chinese tourists arriving and they're moving to, you know, spend a few weeks in places like Cairns or Port Douglas. So you think, well, I could buy a property there and then do very well out of that as well, or say the Whitsundays, or even, you know, the Gold Coast in certain parts. So depending on the type of market, you're going to get a good result. So these are the way in which I say you should, you know, minimise the risk is by going for areas where the growth is coming from a particular type of buyer, and then if one doesn't work, the other will, but it could well be that they'll both go and one's not going to cancel out the other.
Exactly how many markets are there in Sydney, and which one should you choose to invest in?
There's actually probably about six different markets in any city. And if you look at the rental market, you'll find there's the young people that leave home for the first time and they set up as singles, couples or group households. They rent and they'll, you know, live in certain inner urban areas in new apartments, so you get high rent demand for those. Then you've got overseas arrivals who need to rent for a couple of years, and they'll go out to the more cost-affordable areas where there's work and public transport, like Burwood and Strathfield and Parramatta. So different market again. And then you've got what I call opportunity seeker renters, which are your students in capital cities who'll live near universities. And you've got out of Sydney, whole towns like Armidale is a good example, where 25% of the people living in Armidale either work in education or are students themselves. And so the rent demand, you know, generated by that is huge. So there's those rental markets, and then the owner-occupier markets, you've got first-time buyers, you've got upgraders, and then you've got retirees. So looking at which areas has got the most potential for one or more of those types of buyers or renters is going to get you the best results.
It is clear that research, research and more research is the key to Linneman's predictions. But remaining aware of all the information is a skill in and of itself.
I think consistent analysis is the most important thing. So even for existing properties, keeping track of those, you know, the number of listings, the number of sales, rental vacancies, what are prices doing, what are the neighbouring areas doing, those, you know, habits in continuing to do that are essential. And there are many, many investors who will buy a property and they just sort of, you know, let it go and just not worry about it. And then suddenly they'll say, oh, I should have sold a year ago. You know, prices have plummeted. It's too late, because they weren't tracking those trends. And so that's, I think, is the most important habit, is to be consistent and maintain an ethic. It says every Saturday morning for half an hour, I'll just track how my properties are going or areas that I'm interested in, so I know where I'm going to buy next. And I think that's a large part of anyone's success.
With years of meticulous research and predictions under his belt, it is only natural that Linneman recommends his own books as an in-depth source of knowledge on property investing.
Well, Tyrone, yes, of course, I would recommend that people, your listeners, buy my books. My first book was published by Wiley's in 2011. It was called Mastering the Australian Housing Market. and you can buy that as an ebook or online. It's not no longer in print, but the second book, which is called Unlocking the Property Market, was published by Wiley's last year, and that's still available in bookstores, or you can buy that online as well. So they're the two books that summarise all of the methodologies and principles that I've been able to sort of discuss with you in the course of these interviews. And what they do is they explain exactly how you can go about doing the things that I did and I've learnt will give you the best possible results.
The dead-on predictions that Linneman makes in his books and in his work are the source for many property investment successes, both by Linneman and those he has helped.
They have, in general, they've been very, very accurate. We've had a lot of people, you know, I won't say that every prediction has resulted in a doubling in prices, but we've had situations we've predicted hay, which is in southern New South Wales as a boom area. Prices doubled in 9 months there. And another one was Berry in South Australia, where we said the drought's over and prices are going to escalate, and we had people buying properties there which doubled in just over a year. So,
despite the age of some of Linneman's books, the relevance to the public is still paramount.
Unlocking the Property Market was only published last year,
mm-hmm.
so it's not 5 or 6 years old. It's quite recent, and it's a lot of that information is updated information from what was in the earlier book. But I still get, when I do presentations around Australia, and I get people coming up to me with the first book, Mastering the Australian Housing Market, and saying, oh, John, can you, autograph this for me? And it's all dog-eared and falling to bits. And they say, well, we still use it. It still maintains its relevance. So I think that the principles of housing market investment don't change. And whereas, mining booms may come and go and different interest rates may go up and down, the principles that guide all these things don't change, and so the books are both still quite relevant.
But Linneman's not done yet, with a third book on its way sometime in the future.
What it is, it's a composite of all the most frequently asked questions that investors have asked me at presentations. We run a property education course called, or program, it's an online program called 7 Steps to Success. And in that, people ask me questions and I answer them. And so I thought I'll put all these together. So it'd be, everything you ever wanted to know about property investing but were too scared to ask, or something like that. And that'll be the next book, but it'll be a little while off, I think.
Do you have a question for Linneman or wish to get in contact with him? If so?
Well, the best way is if they subscribe to a newsletter, which is a free newsletter. It comes out every month. And if you go to I mentioned 7 Steps to Success, that's a website, that's our education program. But if you go to that site, so you just the number 7 Steps and the number 2 Success, so 7steps2success.com.au, and you can see there, you can just simply register with your first name, email address, and then you can get regular information from me in the form of our newsletter. And it also tells you where I'm presenting, because I'm constantly presenting around Australia, and most of those are free presentations. So if you'd like to come along to one of those, it shows you the links to register for those. And if you do come along, and as a result of this interview, let me know and say Tyrone sent you, and I'd love to see you.
Thank you again for John Linneman for joining us on Property Investory. We've certainly learnt a lot from his decades of experience. If you want to hear about John Linneman's story from working at the Australian Bureau of Statistics, where he formulated his own trend analysis of the housing market that led him to become Australia's leading property market prediction expert, then visit our website at propertyinvestory.com. Simply type in the search bar John Linneman and select that episode to listen and learn more about his story. You can also get the full transcript and show notes on our website. Thanks for listening.